the book last night looking at it. I think next week we're going to do chapter 15 and 16 together, because chapter 16 is only 3 pages, but the rest of them are much, much longer. But God bless you. This is Brother Elder Anton Seals and Elder Jennifer Seals, and we are now live, hallelujah, on Facebook Live, on Zoom, and we thank God for every opportunity. And this is the AGS Ministry Weekly Bible Study Class on Smith's Wigglesworth. We're into the 14th chapter, and we have 5 more weeks to go. I was concerned about trying to get through this chapter because it's so rich, but we'll see how it goes. Amen. I sent you the handouts, and to others who are listening on Facebook, sweetheart, if you could, sweets, if you could, Elder Seals, check and see if it's recording on Facebook. We had some technical issues over the weekend. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just praise your holy name. We give you all the praise, honor, glory. We exalt you because you are God, and we love you, adore you, magnify your name. We can't thank you enough for all that you're doing, seen and unseen, even in the midst of this pandemic, God. Comfort hearts, even for one of my prayer friends, Tony Montgomery, lost his mom, Reverend Michael Thompson has lost a daughter and one of the kids' grandmothers. So our grandmother, I just pray for comfort to all of those that are going through crisis. We lift up Brother Julius Washington, who is having some health challenges, and everybody that's going through something. And we know that we all are faced with our different challenges. Those that are looking for employment, we praise God that he's opened new doors for you. Those that are dealing with depression, we praise God that he's broken yokes. And so I thank you, Lord. I want to give a praise report, because I told you I was believing God to heal me from this constant pain I was having. I got rid of the chronic pain in the back, but I was still having pain in my neck. For the last 10 days, I had no pain in my neck. And hallelujah. And the last 3 days since Saturday, I've not had any real dizziness.
Outstanding.
And so we're waiting to see what happens when I get in the car, but we're believing I am totally healed. And let's believe, because this lesson, this teaching on this word, brother and sister, there's so much power in this word of God that I don't think we realize whose we are and what he's charged us with the abilities and the gifts to do. When he says great and great. So, Father God, I thank you for this teaching of Smith's Wigglesworth. But we know that you are the owner and proprietor of everything that's here. You have created it just by thought and allowed us to have the ability to think through. And so as we get into this, we're on page 141. And I'm going to try to stay focused and try to carry through with this lesson in a way that will help explain why I use so many scripture texts to make sure you understood what is Smith Wigglesworth really saying to us. Every week, you all, he opens up with Hebrews 11, or he's dealing with, do you have faith to believe? And again, he says, now faith is the substance. So last week we discovered that he wasn't just the substance, he's the nature of, he's the very essence of. And we've been talking about that for quite some time, that he's the very essence of creation. So everything begins and ends with God, and he has no beginning, he has no end. Everything that was made by God. It was made without hands, was made by things unseen, eternal. The things that only God knows. And so your hope is in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is the word, because he became flesh. Hallelujah. And we know that God is the word. How do we know that? Because we've been studying for 14 weeks, and we found in the scripture text, the one that jumps out the most is in the parables, where in Luke 8 and 11, where he says, very clearly that the parable is a seed, and the seed is the word of God. It's the manifestation. Amen. Thank you, sweets. Is really the manifestation of the presence of God. And so now the word of God is a supernatural power. And so if you look at page 141 in your book, chapter 14, he says that the supernatural power of God is, and I didn't put this in the notes, but I'm teaching from the, as the Holy Spirit gives it to me. I am that I am. That's supernatural. I have all power. I can do whatever I want when I want, says God. If I say I want to be the rain, I'm the rain. If I say I want to be the desert, I create the desert. If I want to be a human being, I became a human being. If I want the storms to rage, I'm going to let it rage. If I want to walk on the waters and calm the raging seas, God says, I've given you power to speak to every situation, every circumstance, if only you can believe that I've given you that kind of power. And so we have here the breath, the nature. The breath is the ruach of God. It's the creation of his breath that he blew breath into you. And I didn't want to get into a deep study on that because there's a lot of different meanings, and that would take me further away from where I want to go today. But the breath of God, the ruach of God, the breathing of the word of God, the spirit, and going forth, I don't want you all to miss this, but the word of God is the spirit of the living God. It is not just the word, it's the spirit. Why? Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him what? In spirit and in truth. Why truth? Because the word is truth, and he represents the truth. He is truth. What is righteousness? The right standing of God. It is the moral compass that he gives us to live by. It is the Ten Commandments. It's all the covenants. It's everything that's written in the Bible that tells us this Bible is your roadmap. This is your GPS on this earth to get you from one point to the other by having an intimacy with God. And so this breath, this nature, this power of the living God dwells in you, for he made you in his image and his likeness. And so this power that he's given to us says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And there's another scripture, I think it's in Philippians, but according to the power that worketh in you. And we've talked about that before. There's power. Jesus is power. The word is power. And if you understand who you made of, you are powerful. Amen. And it doesn't mean that you're a ruler over being an authoritarian, trying to corrupt the government. It simply means that God has given you kingdom power, and he's given you power over Satan to speak the word against Satan. It's not you. God uses us in the earth realm to rebuke the devil. He gave you that power. And that's why he says, put on the whole armor of God. So number three on your handout says, we must become partakers of this divine nature. So we grab hold of this word. So when you go to Romans 10 and 8, and he says that if you believe, first he says in verse 8, that I am nigh thee. So the word is always, God is always, Jesus is always, Holy Spirit, the triune God, is always present. He's not going to be there. God is he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He is everywhere. He's all knowing. He has all power. And so this living force of a power changes and shapes the world the way God wanted it. And so if you go all the way back, as we've done every week, I'm not going to do it today, but in the beginning was the word. Well, the Lord God formed the world out of darkness and separated the waters from the heavens, the firmaments. And then he said, let there be light. And light became light. Well, who is light? God is the light. Amen. Well, if he's the light, what are you? You're the candle of the Lord. So, which represents the light. So if the light is life, the light of God, the life of God that's in God's word brings life. And if it brings life, it brings light into every situation. It is the Spirit of God that will enlighten you even in the darkest time, because it cannot be consumed unless you backslide and decide not to follow Christ anymore. And you just blaspheme God and say everything you're learning is a lie. And you say, well, I'm not a liar. I never lie. So God don't know what he's talking about. That's dangerous. But my wife was sharing some things with me that's going on in the world where people are calling Jesus she. I mean, it blew me away. We have these communities where people feel they can have three or four wives at one time, take their daughters and marry their daughters and give them. It's so much craziness and so much demonic witchcraft in the atmosphere, right? So much violence that's going on, so much racial tension and hatred all across the globe. And so we have the power to rebuke that. And I want to thank everybody that's listening and those that may have been on with my wife and I and 16 other groups, 15 other praying partners that stayed on and prayed for God to intercede and turn things around across the world this past Saturday, June 12th. And it was also to thank God because James Young and some other men, we've been praying together for over 2 years as of this weekend. And it'll be 3 years for some of us in October. But thanking God for the power that makes the dead things come alive. Last week, we talked a little bit about Ezekiel in the 37th chapter. Said, can you speak to these bones? Well, what is he saying to you? That I've given you power to speak. And Ezekiel first says, Lord, you know, I don't know, but you know, God. But then he tells him to speak to the bones. And he heard the rattling. He's heard the bones coming together. It wasn't just the bones in the valley of the shadow of death. It wasn't just the bones that were people's death bodies. It was the people who were living in a world like right now that spiritually are dead, that know that sin is running rampant, know that hatred is running rampant, know the lies are lies, but won't be honest enough to stand up to it because of whatever their rationale is. But it is not of God. So how can you say you love God and hate your neighbor because of the color of his skin, or they make more money than you, or they come from a different country, when America didn't belong to white America, it belonged to the Indians? And so that whole notion that this belongs to the Caucasian race is a misnomer and is incorrect even in the history books in America. So the truth is now coming out. Tulsa, Oklahoma is another example of the wickedness in the land and what man will do to harm man. And God is tired of it. And so now we have this pandemic, and the pandemic is running rampant across the world. And there's a call from God saying, where are my people? Where are the true believers that believe that I've given you power to speak and help turn this around by the power that I've given to you, especially when you come together? There's power in Jesus' name. So God makes us his sons, and by the Spirit of God, God's power moves from grace to grace. So I thought it was too much, but grace to grace is the favor of God, which is the presence of God, that as you grow closer to God, and I didn't have this analogy till now, but the longer I stay married to my lovely wife, and the more we dated, the more I fell in love with her. The more I've lived with her, the more I've come to understand her. And so grace to grace means that you're living in the doctrine of God. You're living in this word of God. And because he's grace and you're studying his word, he's putting more faith, more grace upon you. So when you hear grace to grace, that's your maturing in the word of God, in your walk with God, that his grace is sufficient to keep you. And the grace to grace says, now I've learned to trust you even in my weakest moments, because when I am the weakest, that's when you're strong. That's when I am emptied out the most, that's when you start filling me up. Amen. When you fully yourself, God can't use you. Your pain and the perfecting work of Christ was his suffering on the cross. So if you're going to be like Christ and reign with Christ, and you died in your flesh to be born again, to become this new creature, that how do you believe that except you have to believe this according to what the word of God says and believe it in your heart? You can't do it by yourself. So God's righteousness is imputed. His truth, his word, his spirit is birthed into you, imputed into you. It is placed into you. It is given to you as a gift. And so this word of God, this presence of God, this gift of faith, which is the word of God, is the foundation, the very principle of who God is. There is none other. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. He's the author and the finisher. So let's go to page 2. Look on page 141 in your book. And you'll say that he lay hold of God's promises in simple faith that we become partakers. God wants us to grab hold of this word. And so part of the problem with the world today is that we haven't done a good enough job as believers grabbing hold and understanding the depth of the Spirit of God, that is the Word of God, that's written on this in this Bible that comes alive. And so God is saying to us, faith is God's word. It is the foundation of his truth. It is the foundation of his righteousness. It is God. It's the presence, the manifestation of the invisible that now becomes visible because you were invisible, but you were made visible. That couch, that back porch that you're sitting on, that chair that you're sitting in, was created out of the ingenuity and the brilliance and the mind of God, that he bore us and gave us this knowledge that we could take a tree and learn how to cut down a tree and make furniture. He gave us knowledge to be able to take metal and learn how to cut it, iron and steel, and produce it and bend it and shape things, and architects to design it and create molds and so on and so on. That's the power of your mind that God gave humanity, all mankind, in other words. And so our self-righteousness, which we count as filthy rags, God counts as filthy rags, oftentimes it's our pride, it's our egos, it's our unforgiveness. And so what he's saying to us in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that you may know the only true God. You can't put anything else above God. If you're going to believe this teaching that you have power, you have to have a relationship with God. I want to ask you a question. How do you have a relationship with somebody and you never spend no time with them? One of the things that my wife is on me about, and forgive me, sweetie, but I want to share this because you helped me with this so much, because I'll get in this room and I'll stay in here, and she said, babe, would you come out this room? So, you know, she's right. When I need attention, I come to her. So if you need that attention, she shouldn't have to always wait for me to come to her, because God's love is his word also. God is love. And so we have to find a balance. And I'll be honest to the listening audience, I've not had good balance in studying the word. I get into it and I get very myopic. I get so focused, I don't pay attention to other things. But I'm learning now to enjoy life, enjoy my wife, and enjoy not just the fact she's a beautiful woman and a beautiful soul, but she's just an awesome person that I enjoy being with. That all the struggles in life, that the word of God says, if you trust him, he'll see you through. Hallelujah. So he's saying to you, can you trust me? He's saying in that John 17:3, life is eternal. This is not life on this earth. This world is temporal. Life with God is eternal. In other words, this flesh is going to die, but your spirit, your soul is going to go back to heaven or hell. Which would you choose? James, I choose Clarence. I choose heaven. So I want this word to come alive every second of the day so that I can get stronger to be able, hopefully, and believing God and speaking truth and standing on his word of righteousness, that spirit that's in us is affecting other people around us. That in such a way that the Lord gave us favor to bring 16 different groups together, including our own ministry. And we didn't ask for nobody's names from their organizations. We wasn't fishing in nobody's pond. We're not trying to recruit. This is all about the power of God, that when he send you to do something, if you get out of his way, this word will perform it. That's what he means by partaking, is to get it in you so you can trust him and get your natural man out of the way. Partaking and communing, we misunderstand communication. Communication is not enough just to be able to talk to you. God wants us to habitate with him. He wants us to abode with him. He wants us to live and to dwell in his presence. He wants us to open our heart, our mind, and our soul to love him, and to open your heart and allow him to come in, because I want to come and sup with you, saith the Lord. That's his word. So everything we just said is the Spirit of God that's speaking off the paper that you're speaking, that empowers you, that you can speak to that mountain, which may be the obstacles that you're facing. It may not be a mountain, but your circumstances may represent the mountain. You may be going through some financial challenges. You may be waiting on that job. You may be having some health challenges. Can you believe that God has given you the power to speak to that thing and to command it to come? Command it to break the yokes and the chains and the depression, to break mental illness, change heart disease. There's a story at the end of this book. There was a 9-year-old boy, and he was sick, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. But God gives you discernment, and he revealed to Smith Wigglesworth what was going on. And he said when he prayed with the young man and laid his hand on the stomach, he spit up a worm that was 13 inches long. Some kind of way it got in his system. But because he had the power of God that all of us have, God says, I know you have the power because I made you. And I made you in my image. So James and Clarence and Jennifer and Willa Mae and Emma and who else do we have? Charlamagne, your children are the image of you. And so if you're speaking life to them, they're going to live a life. Normally, now I know I went wayward. Now, I did things that I never thought I would do and that my mama never thought I would do, you know. But as you get older, you begin to realize what this flesh can do to you with the natural mind. But when you get yielded to the things of God and he delivers you out of them, you don't go back to that. Now, Smith Wigglesworth tells us in the reading in page 141, 142, that you begin to desire more of God. When you desire more of the word of God, more light and more understanding, more knowledge comes to you, more wisdom, so that you know how to make better decisions, because his word will give you clarity of purpose. And this doesn't just happen overnight. This takes time. But once you, he knows your heart. Hallelujah. So Psalm 31, and I took my time with this, and I built these scriptures into this beyond just what was in the text, because I felt if we get this right, you'll understand. It says the substance of things hoped for. That's this title this week, the substance. Well, what is the substance of the things you're hoping for? You don't even know. What you see is what you want. That's not necessarily what God has in mind. But what is the substance? The substance is the matter. It's the essential part of everything that's made. It's the DNA. It's the atom, the matter, the substance of everything. Well, then where did the substance come from? Came from God, because he's the source. Remember, he's the foundation. He's the principal. He's the owner. This is his. This world belongs to him. So the substance is the dirt and the earth that he formed you out of and blew life into your body. The substance is the wood that's in the tree that becomes a desk. The substance of your things hoped for is not made with things that you see. It's made out of the invisible. You're seeing what you want to see, but God has some invisible things that he wants to show you in the spiritual realm so that he could quicken you and strengthen you, because now you are partaking. He calls you my sons. He calls you my daughters. He calls you my son and my daughter because I've imputed this righteousness, my spirit, my power. I've given each of you a measure of these gifts. How do we know that? We can go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 12, and we can go to Corinthians that talks about the gifts. We can go to 1 Corinthians 13, where he talks about love, that he is love. But this is the word manifested. The word that formed the world is the same word that if we speak it and pray it enough and come together as a people, not by denominations, but even if you're the same denomination and you're on one accord, God hears that. But God is not interested in your buildings. He's not interested in how many members you have. He's calling forth the believers, the body of Christ, the called out ones, those who say they sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, but can't pray more than 15 minutes. And get on the phone and don't want to pray. They just want to listen. God is tired of that. That's fake. That's what my kids told me. That's fake, Daddy. When I was living in sin, I was a hypocrite. And they told me, Papa, how you going to teach that? And you doing that. You doing this and that and that and that. Well, how are we going to follow you? And you all messed up. And so when you go through the process and you become this new creature in Christ Jesus, and you speak truth, and you go back and you ask them to forgive you. You ask people to forgive you for the mistakes that you made. So you can't hold on. See, God knows all that stuff that's in your mind. All the jealousy that you say you don't have. All the bitterness that you say in time, you had to get all of that out of you. And the word does that for you. The word is almost like a scrub board. These young people don't know nothing about that, y'all. You know, back in the day, they could make music out of it too. But the scrub board was a piece of wood. It was a slender piece of wood, but it had metal strips on it with little lumps. And you take them nasty clothes and you put some soap and water on it and you scrub it. You remember that, Jane? You remember that? Jennifer, do you? I don't know if you know nobody. You scrub it until it got clean.
Yeah, my mama had one.
I thought we all had one. Yeah, I grew up with one.
Yeah,
Super tie.
We use either the kitchen sink or the bathtub to wash.
That's right. You took a bar of soap sometime, right, and you wet it, right, and you rub it into your clothes because you didn't have no soap powder, and it wasn't no liquid soap powder. We had powder.
Powder. Yeah.
That was the wash machine era.
Yeah.
What'd you say, babe?
That was the wash machine era, the ones that, you know, you put your clothes
in. We had the old wash machine with the ring on the top.
Yeah, we had one of them too.
I stuck my arm down, and when I was a child, a little boy, I stuck it down in the spinner and threw me across the room. I broke my arm.
It was
just inquisitive. Mm-hmm. I got that. And my wife probably laughed, so you was just being nosy. That's where I got it from. I was inquisitive. I always wanted to know. And so I took that and used it in this word. I want to know.
Yeah.
God, I want to know. I want to know. I want to learn. Lord, use me. I want us to be excited about learning to be used by God and to know it's all right because he created you that he could use you. He needs your feet. He needs your hands. He needs your health. He needs your eyes. He needs your mouth. He needs your ears so that you can speak to people, that the light of God is shining through you as you travel wherever you go. Psalm 31, 1 and 5 says, "And in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." So I put that there because trust is truth. It becomes truth. Trust is the manifestation of something that's true. Let me give you an example. You cannot believe somebody until you trust them. And so what happens if I tell you to stand in front of me and I tell you to fall back, I'm going to catch you and you don't know me. You are not going to, first of all, just fall back unless you just one of them kind of people that say, okay, bam, I'm not going to catch you. I'm going to let you bust your head. And so God is the kind of God that he'll let you fall. He'll set it up for you to fall. He'll create a situation and allow you to go through hell and back to purge you, to cleanse you, to develop you. Because he went through so much, he says, I know what it's like. But in order to empty you out of yourself, out of flesh, out of humanity, out of your thinking, I have to allow you to be perfected in pain and suffering and waiting and temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so, oh Lord, I put my trust in you. I've learned to trust you. And when I learn to trust you now, I believe you. I believe your word because you are the truth. God is truth. And you'll see that in the scriptures in a minute. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. This is the same David that fought Goliath. But he was running away at times from Solomon because he was jealous. Jealous. And so what I'm saying to us is God has a plan and I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. God wants to take you out of your sin nature by the word of God to cleanse you and present you as a new creature in Christ Jesus and call you his own. Then he says, you're my sons and my daughters. You are my stewards. You are my chosen. You are my elect. You are my ambassadors. Amen. The righteousness is the nature of God imputed. Look at number 4 on page 2 of your handout. Righteousness is the nature of God imputed in man through Christ Jesus. You don't get that on your own. It's in you, it's birthed in you, but until you believe, it's inactive. It's like a child has certain athletic abilities, but until he matures, he's still on milk. But when you get on the meat, when you get on the good foot, when you get, used to be old, we used to say the good foot lollipop, all that old craziness. But this is the word of God. We want to be in good fellowship with God because his blessed assurance is mine. He promised he would bless me. He promised you that he would keep you. That's his word. That's his covenant. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. It's also the right standing before God in Christ. So who is Christ? Christ is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. Ooh. In the beginning, you weren't here. But when he spoke the word, you didn't come out no woman. The first man did not come out of a woman, came out of the ground. Matter of fact, they got it all mixed up today because the woman came out of the man, out of his womb. That's an impossible thing for man to do. Man and man loving man and woman loving woman, that ain't God's order. But that's what we do because we're not in his word. Because I can satisfy my flesh. I can satisfy my mind. But if you know this word and that spirit of God is in you, you know what you know. God is a perfecting fire. Anything that's in us can be purged out if you allow it to be done. But we have all these influences that are hitting our children, that they're killing each other, they're dying and shooting each other. And America doesn't care. Now, because more and more other people of different persuasions are witnessing mass killings all over the world, and they shooting up their own children in the schools with these big old armed was it AK-47s or whatever they call them? All the armory for what? You shooting people on the street with military weapons that you use in war. And you say it's okay to sell it and don't want nobody to have a license. But until it gets to your home, the word of God cannot be rebuked. You can rebuke it and say you don't want to live by it, but there's a cost for it, brothers and sisters. God is a spirit. Look at number 5, John 4:24. God is a spirit. And they, you are a spirit. And they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth, which means your spiritual man has to surrender, that the natural man has to surrender to the spirit of God that's in you so that you can worship him in spirit and truth. Because your natural mind does not and cannot, will not receive the things of God. And so we have here, and worship is a place where it's all about just exalting God. It's not asking for anything. It's just saying, God, I love you. I magnify your name. I exalt you because you are God. Oh, God, get all the glory. God, who made everything from the beginning and with that was made from nothing, made with hands. Even this place that I have, an eternal home, is not made with hands. It's made with the spirit of the living God. And he said, I put that power down inside of you to release this anointing, the oil of the quickening of the Holy Spirit, that you can speak life into situations. You can change the dynamics, change, because God said in the beginning was the word, and the word is so powerful that the supernatural power of God that's in you, that if you could just work with that. Ain't by accident Brother James got a new job. And it's not by accident these men have been praying for 2 years. That's God's doing. It's your faith in operation. You're on this class because there's something that you're getting out of this that has less to do with me and more to do with this word. Amen. I ain't crazy enough to think it's all me. No. I would like to sometimes think I'm doing something right. But even then, you got to get out the way. Romans 3:22, even the righteous of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So this righteousness of Christ is God in Christ, and the righteousness of the word that's imputed and put into you because you're made in his image and likeness. And when you surrender to God and you confess his name, then and you believe it in your heart, God releases all this power for you to, not all of it, but he begins to mature you so you can grow and be strengthened in the word of God. And it begins to change the atmosphere of your home. It begins to change the atmosphere of your children. It may not ever get the answers you want, but it's going to make a change somewhere. Some kind of way God is going to fulfill what he promised you. I can't tell you exactly how it's going to come, but I know he's always on time. Amen. Verse 23 in Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely. So now, as we get into this next part, it talks about being justified, that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God because he is our advocate. He is the judge. God has given him all power in his hand. And he said, God, I've given you what you've taught me. So what you see me do, I'm doing what the Father did. So you do what I'm doing, disciples, men and women of God, believers of God. Do what God is showing the disciples to do in this word, and let this word permeate in your life, and let it begin to alter your ways of doing things, and let the Spirit of the living God be your map, be your course. That you are the candle of the Lord. You are the pillars of strength. You are all the things God calls you to be and so much more. And so the being justified because God gave him power to advocate for you and I. Because you can't come to God without Jesus. And that's the problem with the Jewish community today, because some of them still don't believe that the Messiah, Jesus, the anointed one, is Jesus, is God. They don't believe that. Some sects of the Jewish faith. And I'm not scholar in that, so I can't speak to it. Not in any depth. But the important thing is to understand that you got to confess his word. And so whom God has set forth for a propitiation. So your freedom in Christ, your liberty, you know, you have this liberty in Christ. You're free. You've been set free. You're no longer a slave to sin because the debt has been canceled. You've been given a gift of eternal life. And the eternal life, somebody had to pay the price. And it was Jesus. So if you notice, I put in here the propitiation. Whom is the propitiation for the remissions? So the removal, the washing, the cleansing, the debt that's paid is the propitiation. It means that somebody came in and reconciled your debt, and it was Jesus. He paid the price, and he rent the veil so that you can come directly to him, because being the judge, he's the high priest now. He's not the high priest of the order of the Aaronic order of Aaron or Aaronic order. He's not that. He's higher than that. He's higher than Melchizedek. Melchizedek, they don't even know where he began that. But Abraham said, I'm not paying you no tithes. I'm giving it to God. Hallelujah. Because he knew that there was a God. Because the word, he believed the word. And they didn't have grace. They had the law. They had the law. And so they were sacrificing animals. So God asked you, the word says, that you bring yourself as a living sacrifice. I didn't ask you to get on the altar. But what you have to give up is a sacrifice. Give up of your selfishness. Give up of your bitterness. Give up of things that you just want to do, all having control and power issues and explosive and can't control your temper. Got anger issues. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus against nightmares of people that are struggling with post-traumatic syndrome, because that's the enemy that has gotten into the mind because of things that they have seen that they should never have been exposed to. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, they get around this word and hear this word, that you will deliver them, because there's power in the name of Jesus, because you are God and God alone. And because we can believe it and speak it, we can call people together and pray. We can call people together and build. We can call people together and pray, and people get healed and delivered and set free. Marriages can be saved. Children can be saved. Stop the gun violence if the world would come together and pray. Because we know where the guns are coming from. They're not made in the alleyways and the garages of the African-American community. It's being pumped into our communities. Ain't nobody stupid. They want you to think this just you. Drugs don't come from in here. They know exactly. They know if they can see your car sitting in front of your house, they know exactly where all these guns are coming from. They know everything, everybody. So, Lord, turn it around for your glory. And I thank you right now, God. I thank you for saving our children and on this line and all the children that need blood covering right now, God. Those mothers and fathers are doing everything they can to do right, and their children are being wiped out the same as the wheat and the tares. The wheat and the tares, God, they grow and die together sometime. But, Lord, have mercy and separate our children and hide them under the shadow of your wings, oh, God. Hide them in the tabernacle of the Most High God. That's the kind of prayers we got to release in the atmosphere, because there's power that comes out of you. That is not your power. It is the Spirit of God, because you're made in his image. And now the Spirit is taking over and it's moving in the atmosphere, and it's connecting from grace to grace, from person to person. That's empowering more and more people, James, so that you can do the greater greats for the glory of God. To declare and say that this is righteousness that we might be just. And the justifier is Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I'm still on page 141. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these were the men and the women who sacrificed their lives. But this is the cloud of witnesses today are people in your life who have struggled to stand up for truth and righteousness and got killed on the battlefield for civil rights. They got killed on the battlefield for just being black. And going in the store and sitting down in the restaurant or demanding respect. So the cloud of witnesses, yes, it represents the doctrine of God more than just the people. It represents that the spirit of the living God and these people that sacrifice is the same thing that you're called to do, is to make a sacrifice of giving up of self to live for God, that other people's lives may be better. And that's what the cloud, the witnesses did. They gave their lives that the gospel can go forward. They gave them lives so they could pull away from the television and study this word. They turn off the radio. They turn off their videos and their VCR, and they got in the word. They stopped drinking and being high, and they got in this word, and it saved them. It changed them. He's the author and the finisher. Jesus is the author, and we've talked about that, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. And so he says, the author and the finisher of our faith is referring to God. He's giving you on number 7 on page 3 of your handout. He says, God is giving every portion, a portion of faith that you can use to accept that Jesus is the Lord and your Savior. After a person repents of their sins and accepts Jesus in their heart, then their portion of faith ends. A person repents of their sins and accepts Jesus in their heart. I don't know why they got ends. That don't make sense. I have to look that one up. If I see something I don't understand, I'll tell you. I don't understand that one. But I'll go back and it could be a mistype. But a person that repents of their sins accepts Jesus. So I have to ask you, do you repent regularly? Do you repent daily? Even before you pray, you should be repenting as part of your prayer. Asking God to forgive you for some of them thoughts you got. Driving around on your job and driving to work and cussing people out. Ask God to take that out of you. That's road rage. That's where it begins. And it's a spirit of anger. Because you ain't in control and I'm trying to get somewhere and you in my way. The foundation of truth works miracles, requires obedience. There are no miracles that you're going to perform if you don't obey God's word. This requires a sacrifice and obedience of time with God that he shapens you to know how to war for him, how to be on the battlefield. How can you give directions and speak life when you out of order? So there has to be God. I said in the prayer last week, God is a God of prayer. And people say, well, if you're in the anointing, when you're in the anointing and you're praying, you're subject to the order that's set. Because God is order. I didn't organize that prayer. I did my part. Excuse me, you all. I did my part, but it was the spirit of the living God. I just heard the Lord tell me, I was physically in my flesh, I didn't want to do the 16 hours of prayer. I want y'all to know that. I want the world to know. I was afraid to do it. I didn't see it. I didn't know how to do it. What people? I don't know that many people like that. And I remember a brother by Dr. Alfred told me, he said, Brasils, maybe part of your problem is you just don't believe. Maybe you don't believe that people respect you enough that if you ask them, that they'll come. So I started asking, but I had to listen to the Holy Ghost tell me, write all the names down of all the people you pray with. Don't worry about political stuff. Don't worry about denomination stuff. Just ask them to pray with you. And James, we had 16, Clarence, we had Emma, we had 16 different groups for 16 hours, every hour. My wife and I opened up leading prayer. She represented her church. We represented the AJS ministry, and 14 other groups prayed. And then God gave us Reverend Travis, and Reverend Travis Newsom closed us out in worship. And I remember my wife saying, talking about faith, when God tells you to do something, and I heard him say overflow, I want you to start this prayer in prayer and worshiping me and adoring me and exalting my name, and I want you to end worshiping me. And I'm like, huh? And so I did that at the beginning, but at the end, so I just wrote overflow. That's what I felt and heard in my spirit. I wrote it. And my wife said, why would you do that? Because I heard the word of God say overflow. And he connects with a young man that I don't know that was asked by another prayer leader, by the name of Evangelist Mary Lane. And because I had met him years ago, I didn't know him personally. I knew he was a praise and worship. I didn't invite him to come pray. God put him at the end of her prayer line to do praise and worship. And it was beautiful. In fact, I'm glad it was there because I was so tired after 16 hours. I was panting. I was like, how many more, God? How many? And then brother got up and started praying, invoked the presence of God, invoked the presence. In other words, he brought it out. He brought the Holy Spirit, came out through him. And God in the spirit imputed that spirit back into me and gave all of us a refresher. Hey, glory to God. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's what this word is doing to you. That's why you're smiling, because you know you've been in a place where it had not been for God. Where would you be? You think that just for 30 seconds, all the stuff and the miracles and the blessings and how he's blessed you and kept you, and you didn't deserve it, but he's been so good. And he got so much more to give us. Amen. So this foundation of truth works miracles. Because he's a miracle working God. He's a supernatural God. He's the almighty God. He's omniscient. He's all of these things. I am that I am. He's a sovereign God. He's the ruler of the world. Even the king's got to come to him. Matter of fact, it used to be that the priest, the king would go to the priest and to the high priest and the prophets to get a word. Now the government and bought up the churches and the pastors that they just want some contracts and some money and turn their head and don't say nothing in the world and go on to hell because ain't nobody teaching the word. I'm sorry, but it's true. If it's not, where's the power? Where's the power? Great big old churches and you ain't got no businesses in your community. What that about? You got 8,000 people in your church, 3,000 people in your church, 20,000 people in your church, and you have no businesses in your community? Who are you advocating for? Don't tell me about no wells across the sea. Why don't you have something built for God in your communities? And why would the body of Christ, who live in the communities that don't have nothing, take all your money and go to somebody else's neighborhood and spend your money and pay less taxes, and they get more of your money, and the taxes you're paying are going over to their communities, and you getting overtaxed, and you ain't got a store in your community? You don't have a clothing store of quality? You don't have a five-star restaurant in your community? What in the world? Your schools are going out the world backwards. And these middle-class black folks, this ain't poor people. So where's the word? I don't get mad at me now. But just think about what God is saying. Just think about what God is saying to us. I've given you all this knowledge, people of God, and you won't use it because of your unbelief and your selfishness and your self-righteousness. How do I know that? Because I lived a selfish life. I lived in unrighteousness. I lived in sin. I made my mistakes. And I tried to hide them and cover it up. Ain't nowhere to run from God. Ain't a hole deep enough. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no mountain high enough. Nowhere to go. Ain't no, you can't go north, south, east, or west and not run into God, because this is his universe. Glory to God. John 10, the thief cometh by night. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come to give you life more abundantly. So why don't we have more abundance with all these churches all across the world? Where's the power? The word ain't failed. It's unbelief. It's ignorance, miseducation, lack of knowledge of God. Ooh. Glory to God. I came that they might have life. God is here to give us life. Speak life. The life of God is in you. It's in your words. It's in your conversation. I'm going to do a workshop and a teaching on overcoming pain from people hurt in the body of Christ. And the reason you got hurt wasn't because of the pastor. It was because of your disobedience, because you wasn't doing what God told you to do. And so when you're looking to man to satisfy you, you can always get your feelings hurt. I learned it the hard way. I just don't want young people to, if you're in a place and you're going through something, stay there and learn and ask God, what is it that I'm supposed to learn before you just jump ship? Because you'll keep jumping ship and you'll keep running. You'll keep searching for something that's already in you and you won't find it. Rolling stones gather no moss. It's like the seed that gets scattered into the dry sand or the dry ground or the thorns, and it chokes it. But it's not rich soil. Even the seed that you sow should be in, sow seeds into that's going to bring life. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. We've got about 6 more minutes. Jesus sits at the right hand. We talked about that. Number 9, 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things are right to you that ye sin not. So what God is saying to us is I need you to be obedient to my word and not live in a life of sin. I need you to become the new creature in Christ Jesus. I need you not to thirst after the things of the world, but the things that are set above in heaven. I want you to look to heaven. Not just physically sitting in a chair looking up to heaven, but I want you to meditate on my word. I want you to meditate in my presence. I want you to habitate with me in your prayers and listen for me. Don't just keep asking me for stuff. Worship and adore me. Magnify my name. Get to know me and listen to know my voice. Jesus Christ, the righteous, as I said before, he's the atonement. Look at page 3 at the bottom, number 9. He's the atonement. And atonement means to be at one with God, at one with Christ, the oneness of God, that you're no longer conflicted about whose you are and what you ought to do and who you ought to live for. You want to live for the glory of God. Amen. And so he says that I advocate for you, and Jesus reconciles, pays the debt for your sin. For the sin of all mankind, for the world, for all humanity. And Jesus, who came into the world that was forsaken by man and rebuked by man, had no sin, but took on all the sin of the world to set you free. I've given you the liberty. Colossians 3:1 says, if you've risen with Christ, seek these things which are above. We always talked about being seated in a heavenly place. So God will reveal spiritual blessings to you, spiritual knowledge to you, godly wisdom to you. But if you don't sit at his feet, I gave a reference a couple of weeks ago about the alabaster box, and that was the wrong story. That wasn't about Judas. That was about Mary Magdalene, who poured oil on Jesus' feet because she was worshiping and adoring him because she recognized that he was really the Messiah. If I make a mistake on something, you all hear me, make sure you correct me or tell me, brother. So I think that reads like this. It's okay. I get things twisted. And we've learned together. Iron sharpens iron. I'm amongst people who are iron. And yeah, can you stand the heat? And you've risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right. So if God is sitting at the right hand, and you his child, he calls you a son, where you think you sitting at? where you sitting at? Who do you sit with? You sit around, watch all them dead walking people on TV? That stuff will get in your spirit, because it's a spirit. It's made by people who think like that. It's made by people who make money off of that. It is not the spirit of God. That's witchcraft and voodoo and hatred. And all you see is even the kids playing games today are so violent that they become numb. They've been conditioned. We didn't grow up playing we play caps and gun, pow, 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 pow. Now these kids got guns. They can go get a gun faster than get a computer. And they're not afraid to kill anybody because they don't understand the consequences of their action, because I'm sitting at the screen and I'm shooting all day long and I'm excited because I see blood running out of people that are just an image. And so when I shoot you, I don't value your life because you're just an object, brother. Negroes, you're just an object. People of color and white folks and black people, we're not just objects. We are human beings that are made of God in his image and his likeness. And all this murder that's going on, they're practicing it on all the games and the TVs that they watch all day long, because they don't hear nothing about no Jesus. And it's all right to convert the word of God and use it for your own purposes. But sin is sin, and hypocrisy is hypocrisy. Thievery is thievery. Homosexuality is homosexuality. Don't get it twisted. God is not going to let you come to heaven. I gotta love you anyway, so I'm not judging you. I don't care who you sleep with. I don't care who you sex with. I don't care none of that. That's your business. But I'm gonna tell you the truth. It is sin. And if you don't believe me, wait till the judgment day comes, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And any Christian man and woman that don't tell you that, then they are liar too, because they know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we got people in high places and high power. They shut the computers down. They shut my website down. Shut the Facebook down up there, because I play some worship music in the background because I didn't own it. So 8 hours of worship, and we weren't worshiping for 8 hours. We had about 3 minutes, 5 minutes of just playing a little background music. We wasn't selling nobody's stuff, Facebook. We were worshiping, praising God, playing some music that's on YouTube. And they write to me and tell me the reason it got blocked is because you use somebody else's copyright. But you got it on Facebook and people are playing it all the time. But when you play it with prayer, something wrong with that? So I sent a petition to ask them to release our video that God told us to do. So thank you, Lord. Convict their minds, release it so we can put it out there in Jesus' name. Dwell in God's word, number 10. I'm not going to read the rest of those scriptures. I gave those for you to just look at. Dwell in God's word. But he that doth truth cometh to the light. God wants to see, when you're living this thing, it brings you to more light. From faith to faith, from glory to glory. And I didn't send this to you. I want to share this with you real quick. Forgive me. I didn't think to send this to you. Let me know if you can see this. I don't know why this is not playing. That's what this did the other day. It didn't show people's faces. I'm gonna stop the share. It won't stop. Amen. So we're going to share this. Hopefully I can get it to work. So I'm trying to take you to this. This is a real good tool to study with. It's called Got Questions. See this here? You can just type that in your browser and type in Grace to Grace, and you can print this out. I usually put this as a link, but I forgot to do that. But what he's saying is the fullness we receive is grace upon grace. And so this scripture, John 1:16, it says, from the fullness of time, from the fullness we have received grace upon grace. What is grace? It is the presence of God. And the more you spend with him, the more he gives you. It's a gift. And your faith opens the door for that gift to flow into you. Because the more you believe in your heart, God knows your heart, the more he's willing to trust you. And the nice thing about this particular device is this platform is it allows you to go to different scripture texts. And this fullness we have all received from grace to grace. And so you can just easily go back to it by just hitting the button and go back to where you just came from. Or you go back to searching where I had his grace to grace. And so it's in the browser. But if you copy the browser, you can always have this and look up so much to study. So Christ, listen to this. This is how this organization that does this research called Got Questions, they Christ the Word, because Christ is the Word. I didn't make this up. Out of his fullness, we have received grace. Out of the fullness of God, when you're in his presence, he gives you more grace based on. So if grace is favor, he gives you more favor. If grace is his presence and his power, he gives you more power. If grace is his knowledge and his wisdom, he gives you more knowledge and more wisdom. That's God from grace to grace. And it's already given to you. He just gives you more of it. So 1 John and verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we seen his glory, and the glory is the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The fact that Jesus was full of grace and truth is the key concept of verses 16 and 17. To get better understanding of John's argument, we can read verse 14, 16, and 17 together. And the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. Hallelujah. The word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is full of grace. John says that fullness is given to him by God because he is God and he's given it to you and I. And so when you go to faith, I think I put it up here. You can go to faith and you can look that up as well. And it says, what is a leap of faith? What does the Bible say about faith? If you do some research of faith, it's the same thing. The more you believe in God's word, the more you understand the depths of his word. You get off the milk. You'll understand the parables. He says, because I've given you to know the mysteries. Amen. I've given you to know the mysteries of God. I'm giving you to know the mysteries of the word, the parables that confuse the mind of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin that had Jesus crucified. They wanted him dead because he was performing miracles and they couldn't understand his power. So brothers and sisters, when you have this kind of anointing on your life, don't expect everybody to fall in love with you because ministers are human beings. And we get jealous of people that have stuff that we don't have. And that's why it's so hard to have fivefold ministry because you got to step out of yourself in order to be able to use the different gifts. Some of the most successful business people are people that don't have to be brilliant. They know how to work with people. They know how to identify different gifts and they will work with folks to make that money. But building up the body of Christ, we scatter people with gifts. We don't want no fivefold ministry in the church. They don't want to speak in no tongues. You don't want no prophesying going on. If you're the only person that teaches in your church is the pastor every week and nobody else teaches, something's wrong with that model. That means all these other people in the church can't teach nothing? Think about that. You got it. And I don't, I'm just telling you the word of God says, teach to prove is show yourself approved. Going to a college and getting a degree is one thing. Having the Spirit of God to teach godly word is a spirit gift. It don't come from getting no degrees. These disciples didn't have all these degrees. And Paul, Saul, had all the knowledge in the world, but he was killing Christians because he misunderstood and thought he was doing what's right until the Lord said, why are you kicking against the prick? He blinded him, knocked him off his butt and off his horse, his donkey, knocked him on his behind. Nobody else could hear it. Nobody else could see the light. But when God gets you, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm telling you, pastors, ministers, I'm not ashamed to call you. I'm 70 years old. I don't have nothing to hide from nobody. I'm telling you what the Lord gives me to say. Why are you the only person always teaching and you got no other people in your church who are anointed to, I ain't talking about degrees, I'm talking about anointed to teach God's word, where the spirit comes out of the class. You can hush us up, but you can't kill the spirit. You can sit us down, but you can't kill the spirit. Because it's coming out now. It's coming out now because if I can bring 16 groups together, and God uses me to, and my wife to do that, why can't other people do that more and more and more? I don't have the money to do it over and over and over. I don't have the resource, but let me stop saying I got the resource because I got God, because he's my source. He's my source. Hey, I got Jesus. I got a connection where I just hear, and you said, do what? Go where? Stop my car where down the street from where the Amazon is being built. When we were praying, James, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, my wife, we came back and she said, what do you want me to do? I said, I want you to pull over there where they sell those cars off of Harlem Avenue between Lincoln Highway and Boma Road, and that little drive where they go, they selling all them cars up in there. And I said, stop the car, all them empty fields. I said, God, why can't we have a distribution center out here? Why can't we have this? Why can't we have that? Now we were praying for the Southlands. We were standing in front of it. I don't take no glory. There's a whole lot of people praying. But now you got major warehouses on 175th Street. You got an Amazon in Markham. You got an Amazon in University Park. You got a huge one on Palmer Road. And we were standing on 2 blocks away. I got the picture. I got the video. I said, oh my God. And if nobody else gets it, that's all right. I did what God told me to do. I took the picture. I said, why can't we have this, God? I asked for it. And we pray and believe in asking for it. So all of you that are praying, believing that Matson is going to rebuild, that African-American community is going to come back, if you keep believing it and praying and put it into action, oh, my God. And come out of these church buildings and walk together and pray together and work together and all the different denominations come together with the power of God. You can't tell me what God can't do. But that requires you to get out of your ego and your pride where you can't even talk to another pastor because of what? Where's God in that? Where is God in these churches where you don't even talk to another pastor? I invited 26 pastors to come pray with me 3 years ago, and none of them showed up. That's crazy. Pray with men every week, and only a handful of us came together. I'm challenging them. Get out of this nonsense that you in control of some group. I'm not in. If you call me and ask me, I got some brothers who can pray, I'm going to ask them, can they pray? Hey, if you can, if you wanna, I'm gonna say, hey, y'all, we've been praying together for 2 years. Somebody wants some help. If you're available, would you call so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so? And then I'm gonna call the person back and say, I called 10 people, only got 2, but I made an effort. That's what God wants out of us, not this selfishness of what we do. That's why the church don't have no power. Teaching classes and ain't got no spirit in it. What's wrong with y'all? This, how you read this Bible don't have no spirit in it? I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just asking us to get in this word because that's the world is going to hell because the believers ain't using the power that you have. It ain't in your building. It's in you. It ain't in your church building. It's not in your book clubs. It's not in your man caves. It's in each one of you to activate that power by getting in this word. Let me. Saved by the power. Saved, Willa May, by the power. Saved, Jennifer, by the power. Filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the executive Godhead. I'm going to end on this note. The executive Godhead means that you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost working through you because God has equipped you to be on the battlefield and has told you, I am the commander, the chief of the army, and I've given you the whole armor of God. My wife preached that thing last week. I tell you, you ought to get the video of that. Oh, my gosh. She got the swinging, talking about the sword of righteousness. I was ducking. I said, Lord, don't hit me with the sword. Lord, don't whoop me no more. Please, Lord, don't hit me no more. I'll do what you want me to do, God. I'll say what you want me to say, God. Please, Lord, don't whoop me no more.
Lord, All right now.
Yay, glory, glory. And they appeared unto them, clay. See, this Acts 2:1 and 4, that was part of our prayer last week, that the Holy Ghost was showed up, and he showed up. He showed up all over the line that they even blocked it. The Holy Ghost showed up, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There's a sound that's coming, y'all. It's going to be a rushing wind of people shouting glory, hallelujah. And they ain't going to wait till they get to heaven. It's going to break every chain and every yoke. Every demonic force will have to flee because the people have come together. If one man named Flagger can bring all that community together tomorrow, why can't everybody else in the churches come together and support that effort? We want to do our own thing all the time. Let somebody call me and say, Seal, you want to be a part of it? Yeah. Lord, help me. Yeah, you got something that you're doing that I can get involved with that's going to help me grow some more, to learn some more, to help the men I work with and the women I know to be a part of something else? Sure. So you want to send us some money? Sure. You want to sow a seed? Sure. God bless us any way you want it. Coming and going. He said, I'll pour you out of the blood. I'll give you land that you never. I'll give you the axe that came up out the water. Remember the axe? They were the prophets were working and they were chopping stuff down and the axe head fell off and Elijah came and spoke to the axe and it came about the water. God is redeeming the time. He's going to recompense and give you back everything. In fact, God don't want you to have the old stuff. He got some new stuff for you. Because when he purchased you with the blood, he didn't give you the old man. He gave you a new man. Gave you a new mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all of these things shall be given unto thee. An epistle of God, 2 Corinthians 3, you're an epistle of God, you're the walking word of God, and that's on page 143. And so when you go through the book, what I did, and I'm gonna get off the line, what I did was I listed the points that I pulled out align with your page. So if you go into I have the book too. So I mark where I use everything was made by God that is in you. That's in one of these lines on 144 or 143. And it says Hebrews. Well, some of the scriptures are not in there, but because I just was led in the spirit to use something else. But I am encouraging you to get in this word and to study. I'm telling you that I was in so much pain sometime after getting off of teaching that I would just always have to go lay down. I'm not in that pain. And I said, Lord, before this class is over, by the end of June, I want to be healed. Did I not say that? Lord, I want to be delivered. I am delivered from this dizziness. I want my diabetes to be, I want my pancreas to begin to function. I want to lose weight. I want to change my appetite. I want to be everything that I can be for the next 30 years. So I can see 100 and say 199 won't do. 99 and a half won't do. Father God, I thank you for this lesson. I thank you for You are the divine authority. That's page 144 and 146. And God, you filled us with your goodness. You filled us with your grace and your mercy, that we wouldn't be drunk on wine of man, but we would be drunk in the spirit, man. That we would be like a deer that panteth after the water. For you are the light and the salt of the earth, saith the Lord. Your spirit brings life. Your tongue can either bring life or death. But your spirit is the spirit of the living God. And I pray, God, that you would release it even the more on the men and women that are listening to these tapes week in and week out and studying your word. I thank you for their faithfulness, God. I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the prayer last week. We give you all the glory. I thank my wife, Elder Jennifer Seals Weeks, for standing by my side, for being there through the prayer and snatching me out of the chair and telling me to go take a break. But I thank you, God. I thank you with all my heart, Holy Spirit. I love and adore you. I love what you're doing in my life. I don't understand it all. Sometimes God is very lonely. Sometimes I need clarity. And I want you to move faster than you're moving. But Lord said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. So Lord, strengthen my heart. Heal people that are sick. Heal those that are suffering on ventilators. Save those that are dying, and we speak life into their bodies. We come against the spirit of arthritis and pain. We come against Alzheimer's and dementia and bipolar schizophrenia. We come against it in the name of Jesus. Any demonic forces that are taking over in people's minds because of the exposure of evil in the land and on television and radio and games. God, save us from ourselves. Have mercy upon us. Quicken those that are on this line, oh God, to be able to do greater greats for your glory, to draw closer, commune, and habitate with you. You love the habitation of your people. So, Lord, we want to spend time in your presence. So we surrender our all to you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Next week, we'll be in chapter 15. I knew that I wasn't going to get to the end of this, but the just believe really gets, and the last page really gets into the story of the miracles. I've noticed a pattern. Smith Wigglesworth, when he writes, he really gets deep into the word, but he doesn't give you all the scripture text. You got to dig it out. But digging it out has helped us understand the power of God's word. That's why you got this paper. Because I said, Lord, what good does this do me if they don't have it? Why should I hold on to it? I'm teaching it. I'll use it again, and I'll pass it out. It'll probably get bigger. So I thank you. Thank you all for being on. Thank you for pushing me. I really do thank you, because I wouldn't have done 18, 19 weeks. I'm enjoying this. I could teach another hour. I know y'all ready to go. So I love you. Thank God for you. Love, my wife probably sitting there shaking her head. This boy don't know how to let go. I just love Jesus, man. Amen. I'm sorry.
Amen.
So good to me. He did so good. I mean, all I could do, y'all, for the last 2 days is cry. When I think about God and what he's done in my life, tears just swell up in me. Last night, James, I couldn't. I had a hard time just praying. I couldn't hold it together. So I thank you all for covering me last night. Love you all. Emma, thank you so much. Charlamagne, thank you. Clarence Brown, thank you. To my lovely wife, thank you. Sister Willamay, thank you. To my sweetheart, thank you so much for just knowing that God is doing a new thing in us. Thank you, for we're fitly joined together. Babe. God bless everybody. We'll see you next week. Yeah. Next please week, share. Share. I'll let you know if we're going to use this book. I think I'm going to use this book, Smith, if you're interested in August. I'm going to take some time off, y'all. But I'm thinking, I've got the outline for this one, and I've read about 75% of this book. And this one I've read quite a bit of, too. This one is Prayers of the God Chaser. And this one is My Soul Follows Hard After Thee. My Soul Follows Hard After Thee. I have electronic make sure if you order this, don't get this little bitty print book. See if they got an 8x11 or 8x something, because this is just too small. I may just get this away, try and get a bigger book, because I can't work with this. It's, the print is just way too small, even with glasses. Mm-hmm. But this is the one, because I got a 13-week syllabus for this already. But actually, this book is, hold on a second. For those of you that are interested, the classes are free. If you want to sew something, you can, but we're not charging nobody. God said he'll make a way. Yeah, this one, I'm going to have to figure out how we're going to do this. It says 10 chapters, but it's 273 pages. But that's a small print book, so it could be maybe 180 pages. But we'll figure it out. The syllabus is already done, I'm asking you to join me and be a part of it, and God bless you. So the book that you have, mine looks like this, but it's yours is newer. So if you look online, your book, Sister Willa Mae, hold your book up. Faith Smith. Yeah, see her book? That's Miss Wigglesworth. That's the new print. But it's the same book. This is a much older book, but it's the same information. It flows the same way. In fact, when I open my ebook up, that's the way it looks, Sister Willamette. That's the way it looks. So God bless everybody. Peace of God be with you. See you next week. Have any questions, please don't hesitate to call. And if you got some other friends that would like to join us, please invite them. God bless you. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Peace.
Bless you.
Bless you.